You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
Three things. Firstly, I agree with Kat Stark, author of Yelling and Pasties, who just as I was about to sit down and record the top of this week's show, tweeted out, "Completely unable to even today." I feel you, Kat. I am finding it hard to even today myself, but the show has to have an opening. The show must go on or go live or go up or something, so I must. Secondly, can we call them deplorables now? I think we can. The worst president has empowered the worst people. The racists, the anti-Semites, the Islamophobes, the homophobes, the transphobes, the anti-immigrant hysterical racists. Last week it was pipe bombs being mailed to leading Democrats and critics of the president by, as it turned out, to no one's shock, a supporter of the president. And this weekend it was an anti-Semitic hate crime committed by someone who was literally repeating word for word the anti-Semitic conspiracy theories he heard on Fox News and read on Trump's Twitter feed. Trump and his enablers in the GOP and the media have both poured out poisons and drawn out poisons. And some days it feels like only a miracle can save us. Can a midterm election be a miracle? Only one way to find out. Vote. And thirdly, I know what this show is. I know what this show is for. Really, I do. This isn't Slate's political gab fest. I'm a dedicated listener. Love me some Emily, David, and John. And it's not Pod Save America or 538 or The Weeds. This is my little sex and relationship podcast. People come here. People download and listen. People call in because they need a break from the news. Because they want a break from politics. People come for the smut, the titillation, the there but for the grace of God blow eye schadenfreude that kicks in when you listen to other people talk about their messy sex lives and their relationship problems. It makes us feel a little better about our own messy sex lives and our own relationship problems. Helps put them in perspective, makes us feel not so alone in our screw-ups, and maybe not so screwed up about the way we like to screw. I know that, but 9 times out of 10, particularly over the last 2 years, I open the show with a rant, sometimes more in anger, sometimes more in sadness, about our national calamity, or our international calamity. Looking at you, Poland, Hungary, Austria, and Brazil, right-wing populists, nationalists, racists, demagogues, phobes of all stripes are on the march seemingly everywhere. We have to fight back, because we can't let the haters and nationalists and neo-fascists and phobes of all stripes and anti-Semites win. But we can't stay in that fight if we aren't allowed to think about anything else ever. Art and music and porn and poetry and sex and titillation and other people's problems. These distractions are necessary. They are morale-shorer uppers. They are sanity enhancers. They are political immune system boosters. So, welcome to your weekly distraction. I am proud to be one of your weekly distractions. I hope you enjoy the show. I hope you enjoy the break. And then I hope you get out there and fight. And I'm going to make you a quick promise. This show goes up Tuesday mornings. On Tuesday, November 8th, 2016, I was so sure, as so many were, that Hillary was going to win the election. And that came across. I think I said as much at the top of the show. I was really optimistic on Tuesday, November 8th, 2016. So optimistic that people who listened to the show later in the week, after we found out that Hillary wasn't going to win the election, were devastated. So I'm going to make you a promise. I am going to open next week's show, which goes out Tuesday, November 6th, 2018, the date of our midterm elections, with a non-political, purely sexual topic to be determined later. So that if you listen to the show on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, you don't have to worry about what I might have said or how optimistic I might have been. On one condition. On one condition will I open next week's show with a purely sexual, non-political topic. All of y'all are going to vote on or before November 6th, next Tuesday, for Democrats. Oh, and happy Halloween, motherfuckers. Get out there. Be as sexy as you want to be. All right, coming up on this week's show, on the micro-free edition of the Savage Lovecast, tons of your distracting, titillating cues, and lots of my, I hope, passable A's. And on the magnum edition of the Savage Lovecast, Dr. Stephen King, our urologist pal, returns, and we have a harrowing conversation about a small child's foreskin and the dispute that has led to between that small child's parents. All of that coming up on today's show. Support for today's show, support we are very grateful for, comes from Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can access all the amazing services of the post office right from your desk in your own home, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click, print, mail, and you are done. It could not be easier. And right now, use Savage for this special offer. Includes up to $55 worth of free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Do not wait. Go to stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Savage. That's stamps.com. Enter S-A-V-A-G-E. Thanks to Audible for supporting the Savage Lovecast. Start a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free. Go to audible.com/savage or text Savage to 500-500. You can do it with audiobooks.
This episode of the Lovecast is brought to you by the good folks at Squarespace. They make it easy to build a beautiful website, blog, or online store. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hi, Dan. I actually just discovered your podcast today for the first time, and I love it. I am in a relationship with a man I love. I've never been more serious with another person before. We've been together almost 3 years now. And we've always had a great sex life. You know, monogamous, where we have sex often, and it's always really pleasing. But lately, over the past 6 months or so, I've been noticing his libido's kind of dropped and mine has not. And I am just, like, dying to have more sex. And whenever we talk about it, he mentions, you know, that he's a little tired, and I'm just too tired to please you, things like that. And then I recently found out that he actually masturbates and watches porn every morning before work. And I caught him doing it, but he doesn't know that I saw what I saw. And I've actually seen it repeat, like, every day before work for a couple weeks now. So I'm just wondering how to handle this, because I'm totally not against porn, but if he's giving more attention to porn than me and I'm not getting pleased, then I am not okay with it. I'm just not being fulfilled.
I think you know what you know, and you should confront him with what you know, which is you're not really having much sex with each other anymore. He says he's too tired for sex or disinterested in sex right now, and yet he is cranking one out every morning. Now, you didn't exactly do the kind of snooping that I am required to offer a pro forma condemnation of every time it arises. You didn't hack into his email account. You didn't hold his thumb up to his phone when he was sleeping and access his messages or photos or videos that he downloaded onto his phone for safe creeping. No, you share a living space with him. And you've noticed that every morning in your shared living space, he darts off to crank one out before he goes to work. You are not an idiot. You are a sentient being. You are not a potted plant in the corner. You are not an armchair or an end table. You have eyes and ears and senses. So go to him and say, look, what is up? You say you're too tired for sex right now, not too tired for masturbation. I know that masturbation requires less effort, less thought, and you don't have to factor in another person's pleasure and the work and effort that sometimes requires to get that other person off. So masturbation is something that partnered people do and have a right to do. But neglect is the issue here. And the masturbation, the time with porn, your time alone with porn, is now salt in a wound. It's not your own private time and you have the right. Right now it is compounding my feelings of rejection and hurt. So dude, what is up? Do you want out? Are you bored? Do we need to shake things up? Are you done? Are you biding your time until our lease expires? What is it? I need you to be honest with me so as not to shred my ego, so as not to leave me so devastated by the constant rejection that I'm now feeling that if our relationship ends, I'm going to be too damaged. I'm going to carry that hurt and damage forward into my next relationship. So what is it? What's going on? Time to level with me.
Hi, I am a 25-year-old cisgendered female, and I've been in a long-term relationship for 4 years. We met in college, and we're still together. And my question is, I don't know, I wish it was simpler, but when do you know to stop? Like, when do you know to throw in the towel if you're kind of bored or over it or whatever, but you don't want to just absolutely obliterate the other person's heart? I don't know. How do you know that you're not just being ungrateful or looking at new shiny things? If you can answer this, then like you should be a super rich man.
There are times in life when radical honesty and directness is too risky. For instance, let's say that it was 10 years in the future and you and your then boyfriend, now husband, have two kids and you're financially dependent on him and you're bored and looking at new and shiny things and wondering whether you should get out. But you have to take into consideration the safety and security and emotional well-being of your children. You have to factor in your perhaps financial dependence on your husband or his on you if you were the go-to-work parent and he was the stay-at-home parent. And it would be a lot harder to be really honest at that moment about how you're feeling, because saying that shit out loud, you can't unsay it. And the consequences for you or him financially, for your children, could be dire if you were radically honest. Right now, at this stage in your life, though, mid, early 20s, out of college, college boyfriend, no kids, not married yet, got a lease, you can be really fucking honest at this moment. You can push your chips into the middle of the table and open your mouth and say some shit that can't be unsaid. Not in a cruel way, just in a blunt and direct and honest way. We've been together 4 years. I don't know how you're feeling, but right now, every shiny object that crosses through my line of sight catches my eye. Right now, I am so bored. Right now, it feels like we're not earning each other. And I feel very much like I'm taking you for granted. And I feel perhaps you're taking me for granted. So what's the deal? Where are you at emotionally? How are you feeling about this relationship? Not a lot of people in adulthood are with the folks that they dated in college. Fewer still are with the folks they dated in high school. So the odds that you two are going to be together forever, and I think you should say this to him, are long. But you do love him still, and you're not ready to pull the plug. What you're ready for, what you're willing to do, is be radically honest with him. That if things continue on as they are now, this trajectory, this downward slope that you guys are on, it's going to end. And better it ends sooner rather than later if it's just going to peter out so that we end as friends and we don't engineer some conflict that gives us an excuse to break up with each other so that I don't cheat or you don't cheat or we don't become scaldingly contemptuous of each other and drive each other away because we couldn't, at this moment, love each other through the breakup that may be inevitable and is inevitable if, again, things continue on the trajectory they're on now. So, honey, darling, person I am not yet married to, person I have not yet scrambled my DNA together with like a couple eggs in a pan, how you feeling? What do you want to do? This is where I'm at. Where are you at? Okay, I'm pretty much done with you, caller, but quickly, a footnote, a digression about boredom and long-term relationships. Boredom is not always fatal in a long-term relationship. It's kind of a thing that happens in a truly long, long, long-ass term relationship, a multi-decade relationship. You will hit a plateau, boredom will set in, and then you will emerge from that plateau. And that boredom, you'll look back on it, it was kind of a stage, kind of a phase. The trick is to acknowledge it. The trick is not to stew, not to allow resentment to grow inside you like a cancer. The trick is for both people to say to each other, things are stressful right now, it's kids or it's work or it's whatever, and we're taking each other for granted, we're not really investing in the relationship like we had been, but we will again. We will come through this, we will power through this. And it requires some intentionality, requires some scheduled sex, it requires some carving out of time to go and do the things that you enjoyed doing together when you first met. It requires a desire to stay in the relationship, which means solving and moving past the boredom. Now, you can't always solve it on your preferred timetable. If it is kid stress or work stress, you may have to live on that plateau, in that plateau, in, I'm not sure which, but there with that plateau, you may be there for a little bit. But if you've looked each other in the eye and said, this will end, infancy will end, and we will have more time, I'm getting a new job and we will have more time. I'm almost finished with my PhD and we will have more time. And we will do what we need to do to bring the excitement back into our relationship. What would it look like if we all shut our flapping yaps for a second and listened more? Listening to audiobooks is a great way to learn new things and to fill your head with other perspectives and to practice listening. For our audience, Audible is offering a free audiobook when you start a 30-day trial. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. Just go to audible.com/savage or text savage to 500-500 and browse their unmatched selection of audio content. You can also start your 30-day trial, download an audiobook for free, and start listening. It's that easy. There's no better place to listen than Audible because now Audible members get even more exclusive audio fitness programs, audiobooks, Audible originals, and more. And now with Audible originals, you can experience even more custom content made exclusively for Audible members like you. Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet. Nancy recommends The Power by Naomi Alderman. It's speculative fiction about a world in which women suddenly develop the power to shoot electricity out of their hands and women then take over the world. Nancy gets a cruel gleam in her eye whenever she talks with me about the book. It sounds fascinating, and I am, on Nancy's recommendation, going to download it and listen to it myself. You should download it and listen to it too. It could be your free book that you get with your 30-day trial. And then once you're a member, every month, you get one credit good for any audiobook you choose, plus two Audible originals from a changing selection you can't get anywhere else. Audible members also get access to audio fitness and health workouts created exclusively for Audible. Plus, your books are yours to keep. With Audible, you can go back and re-listen anytime, even if you cancel your membership. Didn't like your audiobook? You can exchange it, no questions asked. So do this. Start a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free. Go to audible.com/savage or text savage to 500-500. It really helps us out at the Lovecast. If you do that, that's audible, audible.com/savage or text savage to 500-500.
Hey, Dan, longtime listener, first time caller, calling on behalf of a friend whose boyfriend got drunk and peed in the corner of her bedroom in the middle of the night. He has no recollection of this happening and she is rightfully upset. How common is this? Why does this happen? And how should she handle the conversation with him?
Nancy suggests crate training. That might turn him on, though, and then he will keep peeing in the corner as he get back in that crate. This happens. Sometimes people get drunk and they do this. And I think your friend should count her lucky stars, because I have a girlfriend whose boyfriend got hammered one night, uncharacteristically so, doesn't have a drinking problem. Hey, he's a listener. I'm sorry. I hope you don't mind. I'm chatting about you right now. Who got up in the middle of the night, went into the corner of the room, sat on a garbage can, and took a great big shit in the corner of their room. A shit that could not be contained in the wire basket that was their garbage can by their computer printer. Hey, hope you guys don't mind. I'm talking about this on my show. Shout out to my friends. They got through it by acknowledging that this isn't a thing that he does every day. This is a thing that he did that one time when he was drunk and hasn't done it other times when he has been drunk. So it's not anything that you should attach too much importance to. It's not anything you should worry about over much. It's the sort of thing that you just kind of have to let go, just like he did in the corner that night when he was drunk.
Hey, do you need to build a website for your business or for a creative or political project you have going on? Building a website does not have to be tedious or unpleasant. It can be easy, and with Squarespace, it can actually be fun. My husband had to put together a politically oriented site quickly, and guess what? He used Squarespace and found it to be super easy and adaptable. True story. Squarespace makes it a breeze to crank out a beautiful, professional-looking website or blog or even an online store. They have templates that were created by world-class designers that you can just drop in and it looks good right away. And they have built-in e-commerce so you can sell stuff. There's nothing to patch or upgrade, and if you need help, they have 24/7 support. You can make it yourself so easily and make it stand out with Squarespace. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/savage, and use the offer code SAVAGE.
Hi, Dan. I was talking to this guy on a dating app, and we talked for over a week. I hadn't met this guy yet, but I was really into him. We have a ton in common. And the greatest thing is that we have like a lot of kinks in common, which is hard to find. And we even like talked on video chat and stuff. And I was super stoked to meet this guy. And then the night before we were going to meet, he tells me he can't see me because he actually has a long-term girlfriend. And he apologized and basically told me like he was looking, you know, to step out of his relationship because he wasn't getting his needs met or whatever, but he just couldn't go through with it. And he really wanted to work things out with his girlfriend, which, great, good for him. I'm glad he did that. I'm glad he told me before we fucked, but obviously I was really hurt. I felt really, you know, I was let on, and I was like, okay, great. So we talked about his relationship and stuff, and like he still wanted to be friends. So we've kind of like texted a little bit, but I've kind of kept it at arm's length because I don't really want to be involved. So he texted me today and basically told me that he talked to his significant other about all the things that he's into and what her boundaries and limits are. And because he's into all these kinky things that she's not into, she said, okay, like, I will give you a hall pass. You can go meet this other woman and do all this stuff. It's a one-time deal. So he's asking, you know, if I would want to do that still. And I'm really torn because like I said, I was really into this guy. We have a lot of kinks in common. I was really excited to meet him. But I feel like this is just, I don't know, some kind of can of worms that maybe I shouldn't get involved in. Like, I don't know what kind of relationship they have. I don't know, you know, if they have jealousy issues. I just don't know if I should get involved. And what should I say to him?
I don't know whether they have jealousy issues, but they certainly have idiocy issues and don't understand kink and how kink works and what kink's about issues. As I wrote in Savage Love a couple of years back, a lot of people, kinky and not, believe that kinky desires don't work the same way vanilla desires do, i.e. unlike normal sexual desires, fucking, sucking, rimming, kinky desires, pissing, spanking, binding, only have to be acted on once. Do it once, get that kink out of your system, and enjoy vanilla sex, and only vanilla sex, for the rest of your life. But kinks don't work that way. I'm going to keep reading because I think this is pretty smart. In the same way that normal people don't want to fuck just once in their lives and get it out of their system, a kinky person isn't going to want to do those kinks just once and get it out of their system. So the odds that this guy can, just this once, with this hall pass, run off with you, do these things, and then his relationship is going to be saved and secure and successfully and completely monogamous for the next 5, 6, 7 decades are nil. That is not the way it works. You could say that to him. You could direct him to this column that I wrote called Gymnastics, July 1st, 2015. He might need to read it. Or you can have him listen to the show and I can read it to him. But yeah, trust your gut. Don't get mixed up in this. Now, I don't want to be too hard on this guy. You sound young. I'm assuming they're young. A lot of people are ashamed of their kinky desires and work like hell to suppress them and not to prioritize them in a relationship. Like many people, a lot of kinky people fail to prioritize sexual compatibility, and they wind up partnered with someone who isn't into anything that they're into, and they reach a point where they realize they can no longer deny these interests. Sex is in charge. Sex is more powerful than we are. And then they tiptoe into apps. They begin interacting with people to get their yayas on so they can fantasize about it, and they reach a point where they really want to do it. And a lot of kinky people in vanilla relationships cheat their way out of those relationships to do their kink thing. They explode their relationships and they're dishonest and they go behind their partner's backs. To his credit, that's not what he did. To his discredit, he still doesn't understand the role kink plays in his life and that these desires are going to play in his life and that they can't be denied or just acted on that one time. He'll realize that pretty quick after he acts on it that one time with you, if you're stupid enough to be his one-off, or with someone else. Then he'll be back on the apps, chatting with people who share his kinks, who would probably make better partners for him. So, You need to tell him you don't want to be his piece on the side. You need to tell him that you don't want to be his one-off, that you want a relationship with someone who shares your kinks. And he can't be that person, at least right now, at least while he is still wasting his time in a relationship with someone with whom he is not sexually compatible. Let him know that if he's single, or if he has a more reasonable, workable accommodation that isn't going to lead to lies and cheating down the road that he might want to involve you in, that he should give you a call then. These days, you can get practically anything and everything on demand. So why are you still taking trips to the post office to mail letters and packages when you could get postage on demand in your own home with Stamps.com? With Stamps.com, you can access all the amazing services of the post office right from your desk 24/7 when it is convenient for you. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, using your own computer and your own printer, and the mail carrier picks it up at your house. Just click print, mail, and you are done. It literally could not be easier. Right now, use Savage for this special offer. Includes up to $55 worth of free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Do not wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Savage. That's stamps.com. Enter S-A-V-A-G-E.
Hey, Dan. So I did meet my boyfriend and fiance, now ex, over 3 years ago, and we did meet through a kink we both shared. Before we started dating, he has been an addict, and he didn't reveal to me his addiction to many things until we were probably here in our relationship. Just recently, it got to the point where his addiction took over his life and took over my happiness, and it involved lying, stealing, and just I've seen the worst side of him in my life, and I finally decided to end it in sort of a mutual way. We're still living together, which is hard because of our lease. But my question is, it was just revealed yesterday that he has thyroid cancer, and this is just when I finally realized I'm over this relationship and I'm so happy without him and I'm ready to move on and everything planned out. But now how do I decide what to do when cancer's involved? Because no one's prepared for this. Do I stay to support him or do I leave and take everything and let him fend for himself? It's just, I need advice about this because there's no answer of what I should do and I'm torn in a million ways.
He told you that he has cancer. Cancer's back. That's sad if it's true. He's lied to you in the past. It's possible he's lying to you now. I hope he wouldn't stoop to that, but I don't know the degree or scale of the lies he told you before, the lies and deceptions and theft that prompted you to end this relationship. If they were little stupid lies that added up to a breakup, okay, maybe he's less likely to lie about something like this. If they were great big giant lies, then maybe this is just another great big giant lie in the series of great big giant lies, collect them all. If indeed he does have cancer, that's very sad. It's sad that he's sick. It's sad that he has addiction issues. And you should offer him whatever support you feel comfortable offering him. But you're not obligated to be boyfriends again or to marry him or to be his caretaker. Hopefully there are other people in his life who can step up. Hopefully his addiction issues haven't destroyed every relationship. And he has family and he has parents and he has friends and they can be there to support him. And indeed, his family has a moral obligation to support him in a way that you do not have a moral obligation to support him anymore. You are not in a relationship. You're not exactly strangers to each other, but you are not his partner. There was a time that you liked him. There was a time that you loved him. There was a time when you were fiancés. There's some good in him that you recognized and were able to tap into early in your relationship before the addiction issues and the lies and the thieving destroyed your affection for him. And in honor of who he was or the good that's in him somewhere, I think you should offer him some support. What support you can. But you're not morally obligated to put your life on hold, to take him back, or even to be his primary caregiver or the entirety of his support system. He's sick. He's an adult. He needs to take care of himself, which means pulling in the support he can from people in his life, not just the ex with whom he's still sharing an apartment.
Hi, Dan, Nancy, and the Tech Savvy At-Risk Youth. I am a 22-year-old bisexual female calling with a relationship question. I am dating a 40-year-old sugar daddy. I identify as a sugar baby. I started dating him about 6 months ago. We're very in love. I very much care for him, and I see us having a future together. Except there's many layered issues that I'm calling out today. First of all, there's obviously the financial power dynamic that we have between us. And in addition to that, there's a large age difference. And because of this age gap, we're in very different places in our life. He is currently legally separated from his wife and getting a divorce, and he also has a 4-year-old daughter. He's a very good father, and he spends a lot of time with his daughter. For example, they recently went to see Frozen on Ice. I want to be more involved in his family life, and I want to feel less like a secret and more like a person that's involved in his life. He has made it clear that he wants a future with me, and we even transitioned away from a lot of the sugar relationship to more of just a vanilla relationship with an allowance component, although I have other sugar daddies, and it's a completely different feel for me with this guy. The problem is, I feel like there's just some dissonance in that he's a very private person. He's at a place in his life where he's not really able to move forward for me. So I've kind of told myself I just need to be patient and wait until he's at a place. But for example, like, I've never been to his house and I haven't met his daughter, although because research says it's better to wait until a couple is divorced to meet a new partner, I would prefer to wait until his divorce is final. But things like this start to get to me sometimes, and I get really upset and communicate to him that it's disappointing. And over time, he keeps telling me that he's afraid to disappoint me and that he really wants to be with me, but he thinks it's selfish to be with me because he can't give me everything that he wants to give me. So I'm not exactly sure what to do. I'm not sure if I should just kind of cut my losses and move on. But I'm having a really hard time thinking about it logically just because of all the feelings that are kind of getting in the way. I think I know what you would tell me, but I'm not exactly sure. This is someone that everything else just feels perfect. Like, we are very compatible sexually, romantically, emotionally. We're very compatible when it comes to monogamy and our perspectives on it. And it's not a relationship that I want to just let go lightly.
If I were the parent of a small child and I was dating someone new, my relationship was ending, my marriage was ending, I was getting divorced, and that person that I was dating, even if it was a sugar baby, was pressing me at 6 months to meet my child and guilt tripping me about having not yet met my child or been to my home where my child is, I would break up with that person. Because what they're telling me is that they don't have the emotional intelligence that I would want to look for in a partner, however I might have met them. Don't want to be too hard on you. And you even acknowledge toward the end that it's better for the kids to meet the new partner after the parents are divorced. It's also better for the kids to meet the new partner after you're sure the parent is sure that this new person is someone that they want to be with long term. And you can't know that at 6 months. You can hope that at 6 months, you can continue to see this person under the assumption that that's what you're building toward and working toward. Because really, dating at 6 months, you don't know each other yet. He doesn't know you yet. You don't really know him that well yet. However infatuated you might be, you are still in the NRE and check cashing, in this case, phase of the relationship. And that is not the time to make a proposal. That is not the time to rush a commitment. And bringing you into the life of his child is rushing the commitment. And if you're pressing this issue, and it sounds like you are, even though on some level you know that it's too soon, he may be pulling away from you, pulling back to protect himself, protect his child. And I have to say, I can't give you everything you want, everything you deserve, is really just a variation on it's not you, it's me. So you're contemplating pulling the plug. I believe because of that statement, he may be contemplating pulling the plug as well. So here's my advice. It's an advice show. You called in for my advice. Here you go. Back the fuck off. Slow the fuck down. Cool your jets. Slow your roll. Tell him that you love him and you think maybe you guys could have a future together. And if he feels the same way, you'd like to keep dating in a non-professional capacity. No more sugar baby, sugar daddy relationship. And then a year from now, after you've been together a year and a half, if you're becoming more serious about each other, then you can start thinking about the kind of commitment, the kind of relationship that you want to have. And that would include a relationship at that point with his child. At this point, at 6 months, in the context of a commodified relationship with that power imbalance that you acknowledge, it's too soon. Too soon for you to be involved in the life of this child. He knows it, and to your credit, you know it too. You need to trust your gut here. It is too soon. The part of your brain that's saying, I want to meet this kid, needs to hear from the part of your brain that's telling you, that told me, that you know it's too soon. And again, you need to slow your roll, cool your jets, calm the fuck down, back the fuck off. And we'll see. And if you're together a year from now, then you can meet his daughter.
Hi, Dan. I coach a sport at a public college, a little blue dot in a big red state. The reason I'm calling is one of my players just confided in me that she is pregnant. It's an unwanted pregnancy. It's an unplanned pregnancy. And because we are a little blue dot in a big red state, there aren't any abortion clinics around. At this point, she's very, very early on in her pregnancy. But the closest abortion clinic, even someplace that she could get the oral abortion pill, is about a 3.5 to 4 hour drive from here. And more of what I'm calling about is she asked if I could take her because she doesn't have a car on campus and she doesn't have anyone who can make that drive with her. Again, I teach and coach at a public school, so I don't really know that there would be any issues with the school, but I'm interested in what you think about some of the ethics, I guess, or potential problems that I'm not thinking of right now.
The problem here is that the only abortion clinic or the nearest abortion clinic is 3.5 hours or 4 hours away. The problem here are all of the restrictions that have been laid upon a woman's right to choose to control her own reproductive system and decide whether or not, if she's experiencing an unplanned or unwanted pregnancy, she wishes to remain pregnant or whether she's going to be forced to carry a pregnancy to term against her will. That is the problem here. There could also be a problem when you arrive at the clinic. Many abortion clinics have state-mandated waiting periods where you have to go in for an appointment and then wait a day or two before you can have your abortion, even if that abortion is in pill form and it's very early in the pregnancy. And this problem is going to get worse because of Brett Kavanaugh, because of Neil Gorsuch, because of Donald Trump. Don't just pray, ladies and gentlemen, for Ruth Bader Ginsburg's health. Also pray for Stephen Breyer's health and Sonia Sotomayor's health and Elena Kagan's health. And this problem is going to get worse because Roe v. Wade is likely to be overturned. That is what Donald Trump promised to deliver to the evangelical right. And this problem is this problem because so many lefties refuse to take the Supreme Court as an answer when they asked, why should I vote for Hillary Clinton? Once Roe v. Wade is overturned, and do not doubt Susan fucking Collins that Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned by this radical right Supreme Court that you are fucking complicit, Susan Collins, in helping to construct. And then it's back to the states. Roe v. Wade isn't a constitutional amendment banning abortion in all 50 states. It returns to the states' abortion rights, and there will be great swaths of the country where a woman cannot ultimately control her own reproductive system and make choices and decisions for herself. So, caller, I haven't really addressed your question. The ethics, I don't see an ethical problem here in you driving this adult person that you happen to know to get an abortion. You might want to look into whether that would be a problem at your university if her right-wing red state family finds out that someone who works at the university and works with her and has authority over her drove her to an abortion clinic 4 hours away. You'd want to make sure that that wasn't creating headaches for yourself. If it does potentially create a headache for you, reach out to some friends. Find someone in your social circle. Find someone on your blue dot, your blue island in that red state, who can step up and drive your student, this adult, to the clinic where she can execute her constitutional right to terminate this pregnancy. And hey, gang, y'all might want to brace yourselves, because once Roe v. Wade is overturned, there are going to be women out there who need to be picked up and driven across several states to avail themselves of their right to control their own reproductive systems. It's going to get ugly, and we're all going to have to step the fuck up. Caller, just like I think that you should step the fuck up for your student.
Hi, Dan, and the Tech Savvy At-Risk Youth. I'm Joe. I'm from a fairly conservative area, and I have a parenting, sports, and sex-adjacent question for you. My daughter, 9 years old, plays football. She's in her second year and greatly enjoys it. She recently asked me if she wants to compete for the starting position at center, which requires at least the team she plays on, requires a boy, in this case, to stick their hands directly into the working space, as it were, of the center to receive the snap of the football. Routinely, the boys are taught how far to get their hands up to essentially feel with their hands for the junk of the boy who they're reaching underneath. I'm really struggling here, as I don't want, as I've spent 9 years teaching my daughter that just because she has a vagina, she can still do whatever the fuck she wants, and not to let anything get in her way. But at this point, in this age, I'm not sure that she can consent, or even that the 9-year-old boys, 10-year-old boys on her team would be able to consent to that level of physical intimacy, or not intimacy, but that level of contact without, I just think they're a little too young for that, and I'm trying to deal with this as a parent. How do I tell my daughter, I'm sorry, well, you have a vagina, and in this case, this one very special case, you are not going to be able to achieve your goal. And I don't really like how that sits, but I also don't know how to deal with it on the other side of things.
Your daughter's on a football team. I'm not a sportsy guy myself, and I certainly wasn't a sportsy 9-year-old. I was too busy dancing around the dining room to Camelot at 9 years old to concern myself with anything as pedestrian as football. That was for my brothers. But I do believe there's a lot of incidental physical contact when you're on a football team, not even a tackle football team, even a tag football team. There are huddles and puddles and piles of kids running around. And I don't see why this incidental potential physical contact is of a degree or a scale different, really, than the incidental and potential physical contact that your daughter is already coming into contact with the other people on her team. Then your daughter is already running the risk of experiencing while on this football team with all these boys. It seems to me like you're projecting onto these 9-year-olds what it would feel like for adults to be in this situation. And I feel like you're the one sexualizing this, and you need to back the fuck off. If you're going to have words with anybody, have words with the captain of the football team or the coaches of the football team about your concerns that your daughter's body and physical autonomy are respected. And if there are any boys on the team who take advantage of your daughter in this position, that they're the ones to be penalized. They're the ones to be pulled off the team or moved to another position. That your daughter shouldn't be the one who's punished. That her horizons shouldn't be narrowed, and make it clear that it's not your daughter who should be punished or not allowed to do something because some boys are assholes. They should be the ones kicked off the team. They should be the ones put on the bench, not your daughter. And it would suck for your daughter to have her father be the one who benched her. So, Dad, knock it the fuck off.
Hey, Dan, this is for the woman in episode 626 that was having trouble getting her now ex-boyfriend to do anything or go on ask her on any dates. I was just recently the boyfriend on the receiving end of that conversation. My girlfriend sat me down. She told me, you need to do more. You need to do things. And because I deserve it. That was a big perspective changer for me. And I have ADD myself. And after she said that, I started doing more and I was able to do more. So her ex's excuses that it's his ADHD is personally offensive to me as somebody with ADD who's received the exact same talk. I hope this helps.
Hey, Dan. This is a call and response to the sexy Texan in 626. I married my partner who does not like to kiss. He told me early on, and your advice is great, about telling the Texas to be honest. I would do that. And then also make sure you tell your partners how you show affection. So she knows how, or he knows how to look out for it. And finally, bring some things into the bedroom that are fun for her. My husband doesn't like to kiss, but he loves to use my vibrator on me. He loves to put things inside of me. And even though I do, you know, want to kiss every now and then, and he does indulge me, he finds ways to please and pleasure me otherwise. So good luck. We exist. We will marry you. We will date you. So be honest, be out there, and be comfortable to let things loose.
Hey, this is to the woman in episode 626 who was surprised by semi-hard cocks. That's not uncommon with new partners when a guy doesn't know like what you're into and is learning to read you. And with a new partner, if you're anxious and disappointed that his cock's not hard, it's going to show up in your body language and that's going to kill his boner. So I would ditch that expectation the first few times, find some other stuff to be excited about, give him good feedback, moan and writhe and grab him and tell him you love his arms and his chest and his cock. And the more into it you are, the more he'll relax and the harder his cock will get. And finally, as Dan said, positions matter. So ask him for his favorite and go there.
And we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you'd like to record a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz. 206-302-2064. It's finally here. The 14th annual Hump Film Festival opens this week in Seattle and Olympia, coming soon to Portland and San Francisco, with an all-new selection of dirty short films that audiences will get to vote on for cash prizes. Next week, again, we'll be in Portland and San Francisco. There are still some tickets left, so go to humpfilmfest.com and learn about showtimes, all the new films, and how to get your tickets. And also learn how to submit your film to the 15th annual Hump, which is coming up next November. Follow me on Twitter at @FakeDanSavage. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian and me and Nancy and the tech-savvy at-risk youth. We will all be back at you next week with an installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thanks for downloading and vote!